You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos. It is a very, very special edition of the show today as we're doing this episode live on Periscope. So if you're joining me here on Periscope, you're getting it live. You'll get it in your podcast library on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Later on, my boy Tank, all the way over the pond, is joining us here for a very special edition of the show. On our Periscope edition today of Locked On Broncos, we're going to be talking about some of Pro Football Focus's grades from Broncos Week 1 performance. We're going to analyze that a little bit on the offensive side of the ball, who played well, who wasn't graded the highest. I know we don't take a lot into consideration of Pro Football Focus. I know a lot of people are very outspoken against it, but there are some very valuable key pieces in there that determine grading, and these guys spend a lot of time talking about it, going through film and reviewing positional breakdowns for their Pro Football Focus grades. We're going to talk about that today here in segment number one. Segment number two and number three, we're going to talk about the Broncos. It's going to be you, the listeners of Locked On Broncos. You guys tuning in right now on Periscope, on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, you get to ask all the questions. You guys get to create this show tonight alongside with me. Very excited about that. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, columnist at Predominantly Orange and a writer over there. And a lot of great work from a great group of guys over there at the staff of Predominantly Orange. A lot of daily great content that you can get to your phone with the Predominantly Orange app. Follow them on Twitter at Predom Orange. And I'm an NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. For those of you tuning in on Periscope, you're tuning in from Twitter right now. So you're here already at Cody Rourke NFL. So let's get into it. The Broncos, you know, we talked about it. 27-24 victory against the Seattle Seahawks. It was a very impressive win for the Broncos. It was a grinded out performance. The Broncos offense experienced some ups, some downs. But overall, the one thing I really liked from Case Keenum is he responded tremendously well after throwing three interceptions in this game. So I think when we go into and factor everything into our consideration, last year when the Broncos had a quarterback that threw a pick, he would shut down. His body language would continue to drop. And it wasn't that case with Case Keenum, and I mean that with all puns intended. That was actually pretty clever. I didn't even try to even think of that. But let's talk about some of the offensive grades. The highest grading player for the Denver Broncos week one in their win against Seattle, according to Pro Football Focus and their Premier Edge statistics, allowing us to share this information with you. Matt Paradise was graded out as the highest offensive player for the Broncos. He graded out overall as an 83.9 ranking. He had 78.7 rating in pass blocking as well as 83.3 in run. That was especially huge for the Broncos to spring Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, who both had 71 yards rushing on 15 carries and a 4.7 yard per carry average. My man Rev Deuce Windham, he does a lot of Saints coverage there on Twitter. Give him a follow. Great guy as well. He's tuning in here. Locked On Broncos Periscope Tuesday edition of the show. The second highest player that was graded, no surprise, Emmanuel Sanders. He graded out overall at 80.5 and in the passing game 78.6 with a grade for run blocking. He had an 89.4 rating, so he actually did a lot of things to help set up the blocking scheme a little bit. That was huge for the Broncos. The top five, we'll go through these guys and we'll talk about some of the bottom guys. Demaryius Thomas came in at number three. He was ranked there at 77.4 overall for the offensive production and 73.9 in the pass game. And he was a very effective blocker, grading out at a 90.1 for Pro Football Focus's subscription there. Very cool stuff that they allow us to do this over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. And also, right tackle problems? Not in 2018, at least after week one. Jared Valdir graded out as the fourth highest rated player on the offensive side of the ball, 73.6. His pass blocking graded out at 80.3 and 66.9 in the run blocking. That's a little bit of an area where I think he can improve on in run blocking, setting out the edge, especially when you run a counter or you run a stretch play, being able to extend and hook and arc release and seal guys inside. Jared Valdir, I think he could do a better job, but he comes in graded out as the fourth guy. And the fifth guy graded out on the top five for the Broncos offensive plays there is Jake Butt. Now, Jake Butt, he graded out overall 73.5 with a 78.1 rating in the passing game, 66.4 in pass blocking, pass pro, and a 55.6 in the run blocking scheme. He's got to get a little bit better at that, but they grade out as your top five 5. Let's talk about some of the guys right now. Rev says, are the Broncos running mostly power from the O-line around? They're running a lot of dive ISO. They are running a lot of power leading up. We didn't really see too much of the fullback. We saw a little bit of Andy Janovich. But overall, the Broncos are just going one guy, and Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay, they're very springy with their steps, and they get downhill and they make plays. And Phillip Lindsay's a guy out of the backfield that the Broncos really have into consideration as well. So let's talk about some of the bottom performing guys here now. The bottom five, read into this what you may. Tank asked me that when we get into segment two. He asked a question about Isaiah McKenzie. We'll answer that in segment number two and segment number three, where it's all about the fans, their questions, and everything like that. We're going to get there in just a few moments over here, Locked On Broncos as well. But the bottom five players that graded out, Tim Patrick was the lowest graded player with a 36.1 overall rating, 41 in the pass game, and run blocking at a 55.5 rating. He did, however, have a great block that helped spring Emmanuel Sanders up the sideline and for his touchdown run. That was a huge block coming back in there. Devontae Booker, no surprise, comes in as the second to last on this list, graded out at a 51.4. His pass blocking grade, and this might be a reason he might not step on the field much longer for the Broncos, his pass blocking grade was 17.4. That is highlighted in red. That's not very good. And to be honest with you, watching the game, watching the film, when Devontae Booker was in there, the energy on the offense was just different. It was negative. It was downhill, and it didn't seem very fun or impressive. The Broncos lacked a little bit of swagger. And so Devontae Booker's in a kind of a bind here where he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What is my approach? Because Royce Freeman's playing well. Phillip Lindsay's playing well. You have these options there, and it's going to be hard for a guy like Devontae Booker to see the field with how well these guys are playing. Matt Lacoste comes in as the third highest guy at 56.8, the bottom 59 in the passing game. Jeff Heuermann came in ranked as 57.3, as well as the fourth to the bottom type guy, 57.7. And for him, 47.2 grade in the passing game. He was good in pass blocking with 77.3 grade right there. That's highlighted in green. In the run game, he's a 59.9 guy there. So that was some of the grades here for the Locked On Broncos. In terms of utilizing Pro Football Focus, if you have a subscription, I highly encourage you to utilize. And they have a lot of great stuff. I think it's super important as well. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by MyBookie, and is the premier, the one-stop shop for all reliable sports betting. They offer a variety of amazing features that you, the fan, you, the listener at home, if you utilize both MyBookie and Locked On Broncos, you can have a lot of fun with this. And the reason is they now have a setup where you can make live in-game bets on the fly. You can bet your money on it, or you can even bet the over or the under if you're a fantasy football player on how many fantasy football points a player will score. You can win money by doing that. The best thing about MyBookie is that when you win, you get paid. You don't have to wait any longer to receive your payout. They pay you right away. MyBookie, they've been so reliable for me. I used them. The Broncos were 3-point favorites last week against the Seahawks. I took it. I bet on it. And guess what? I saw the benefits of my rewards. $15. But you know what? That's a little bit of extra coffee money to keep me awake to do these shows. Very excited about that as well. You get to lay down some cash and you can win big today. If you join now, MyBookie, they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar, and you can do that by using promo code Locked On. So go to MyBookie online today and use promo code Locked On to activate this very special offer. Now, Locked On is one word all together. Once again, visit MyBookie online, promo code Locked On, in order to claim this offer. You play, you win, and you get paid with MyBookie. Segment number two, we're jumping into it, and this is all by the fans, listeners of Locked On Broncos. You know you have to be a listener of Locked On Broncos if you're jumping live on Periscope at Cody Rourke NFL during this Twitter Tuesday Periscope edition of the show. Your feedback, your NFL news, your takes get shared right here, right now. So let's talk about the Broncos. Big, big matchup this week against the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders come to town at Broncos Stadium, Mile High, 2:25 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff. Going to be an exciting game. Anytime you get an AFC West divisional game, you get this rivalry game, the bad blood between these two teams. I think it's always fun to watch. The matchups are always tough. Last year, the Broncos defended the home turf at Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Justin Simmons, game-sealing interception of E.J. Manuel last year. And then you go on the road to Oakland. Paxton Lynch starts as your starting quarterback, gets hurt. Trevor Siemian comes in, almost leads a comeback. And then Cordarrelle Patterson, he burns Brennan Langley deep on a play on fourth down that would have gave the Broncos the ball back in great field position if they didn't convert it, but they converted it. So that was a painful. The Broncos would lose that game. This year, the AFC West, I think, is going to be tough. I think the Chargers are tough. I think the explosiveness of Tyreek Hill in Kansas City, that's going to be a tough dynamic for the Broncos to match up with, any team in the NFL, for that matter, to match up with. And you have a tough, tough game this weekend, Broncos Stadium, Mile High, with the Raiders coming to town. And we got a crossover show that will air tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's our Wednesday crossover series of the show. And what happens is we get to bring you all the latest, all the greatest things regarding the Denver Broncos Oakland Raiders matchup. Host of Locked On Raiders, your boy Q, joins me here on the show as we talk back and forth. We're going to talk about what we're going to see from the Raiders side of the ball offensively, defensively, what to expect. He's going to ask me what we're going to see from the Broncos side of the ball, what to expect against the Raiders defense, the Raiders offense, so on and so forth. And then our third segment of that show, we're going to be talking about keys of the game for the Broncos Raiders matchup. What these two teams have to do in order for their team to come out on top. That airs tomorrow here, Locked On Broncos, around noontime. I'd check your podcast, check your phone app. If you're stuck at work, you're trying to get through the long day, it's that, those Wednesday blues, and you're trying to just power through that 2 o'clock feeling. Let Locked On Broncos take you home, carry you there, drive safe from work, drive safe to work, but let Locked On Broncos keep you there with all the coverage. Hope you like the game recap show following Sunday's game against the Seahawks. But, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Broncos. Because I want to hear some of the fans' suggestions, some of the fans' concerns or observations or what they want to see from the Broncos on Sunday against the Raiders. And you can factor in on this when you guys share this on our Periscope edition. What is your main surprise? What stands out to you? And the first one comes from B. Mays. He says, Royce was a surprise for touches. Really, both him, being the starting tailback. The Vance Joseph came out in OTA's training camp, said that the Broncos aren't going with one guy. They're going to utilize a tailback by committee approach. Now, in regards to this, we saw this on Sunday. We saw Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay each get 15 carries for the Broncos, and they each had 71, 75 yards total. I believe they had 4.7 yards per carry. Royce Freeman's the guy that's mainly B. Mace. He's mainly the guy that's going to be the run option, the power guy, but he will catch it out of the backfield. They wanted to utilize Phillip Lindsay more for that role because he is a quicker matchup for inside linebackers matching up there. J.S. Mile High, he says tackle, 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 and tight end coverage in regards to the Broncos-Raiders matchup. They got to do a better job in the open field tackling, and more so covering tight ends, which has been a big problem for the Broncos overall in the last couple of seasons. They really have to do a good job of that with Jared Cook and the talent that they have down there in Oakland. Tank says, why did Isaiah McKenzie make the 53 on Saturday only to be cut now? Well, think about it. Week one, you had the dynamic where Carlos Henderson was suspended. He is a guy that's going to, it's on your practice squad, but he's going to take up a roster spot. They cut River Craycraft, unfortunately, and that was something that they made today, and they cut Isaiah McKenzie. They promoted Carlos Henderson to that spot there. So you almost have to wonder, what are they going to do with that other practice squad spot right there? I'm not exactly sure yet. I'm not exactly sure as to what the process is going to be, but I believe that Isaiah McKenzie can return to the practice squad if he clears waivers. That's going to be something we'll analyze as that news and that stuff becomes available. I'll keep you guys posted on that as well. B. Mays, if you could repeat that question about, or that statement about Emmanuel Sanders in the slot, I would love to read it off again. I didn't quite catch it due to answering the other question, but we're doing a Periscope edition over here. First down, Dante, how you doing? Love Dante. She's asking about Sunshine Jordan Taylor. Physically unable to perform, list double hip surgery. He's a guy that really has a big road, big obstacles in front of him. The Broncos have 5 wide receivers on the active roster. You know, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Deshaun Hamilton, Cortland Sutton, and Tim Patrick. To be honest with you, it's going to be hard for Sunshine to see the field. He might be a practice squad guy, but more than likely when he's healthy, I could expect that the Broncos might release him. And it bums me out because I love Sunshine Taylor. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of contingents in Denver talking about, there's this love, this infatuation with him. He's a good player. He is. I trust him. D-Max, he's kind of got a little bit of a hot take here. Okay, hot take Tuesday. Phillip Lindsay will be starting by week 4. The energy is different. I would say none of these guys are necessarily starting. I'd say Royce Freeman started off the game, but it depends on the matchup. It depends on what defense the Broncos are going against and what matchups they really want to utilize against the Raiders. Phillip Lindsay could start off because they might want to mismatch on an outside linebacker, inside backer, or one of those slower safeties like Reggie Nelson. Now, Tank says, was letting D'Angelo Henderson go a big mistake? In my opinion, Tank, I thought it was. because we saw what Devontae Booker did. We saw the just the level of play that the Broncos had. They just looked different when Devontae Booker was on the field, and not in a good way. They looked very lackadaisical. Devontae Booker still couldn't hit the hole, and he should have been the odd man out. I absolutely agree with D-Max and obviously Tank there. D'Angelo Henderson, I think, is going to be a special player, and he's going to get some run down there in New York with the Jets. Unfortunately, I wish he would have been getting that run with Denver. With Phillip Lindsay, D'Angelo Henderson, and Royce Freeman, I think that's a pretty nice combination between everybody on that Broncos team. And so kind of one of the keys to the game we were talking about with your boy Q, that episode of Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Raiders, a crossover series airs tomorrow. We were talking about the dynamic here between these Broncos running backs. Case Keenum doesn't have to do too much. He doesn't have to come out and throw for 4,500 yards. He doesn't have to throw 45 touchdown passes this season. He doesn't have to force throws like we saw him force on Sunday against Seattle. That was a big thing that was stood out to me. Be yourself. Be the guy that monitors. You had an equal balance run game. Utilize that. Pac-Man to Denver was the best offseason move this offseason. Very underrated. Nacho says Pac-Man took that number three spot. Yeah, let's talk about Pac-Man. He stepped up. He stepped up big time. Loved seeing what he did, especially against Brandon Marshall. Very great cover guy. He earned that number three spot as well. We'll talk about him here in a second. Real Ocean 97 says, how did Sutton do? Will he make an impact? He had two catches, 45 yards, picking up the chains. It was a first down conversion play. He's going to get probably a little bit more action this week against the Raiders. They're kind of young in their secondary. I think overall, Courtland Sutton's going to be a very special player for the Broncos. When Demaryius Thomas retires, I think Courtland Sutton has a chance to overtake him. You know, one of the hot takes by my co-host Cameron Parker was that Courtland Sutton will lead the Broncos this year in touchdowns. I don't think it's going to happen with the rate that Emmanuel Sanders is playing as well. So that's something as well. Pac-Man was a big move, Dante. D-Max says special teams is the biggest improvement this offseason. Absolutely. Anytime you get a kicker to get his head back on, like Brandon McManus, who started off very confident, had a great offseason, great preseason training camp, and a great start to the regular season, 250-plus yard field goals. That was very, very key. That was exciting for me to watch because he's got that confidence. He's got that swagger now to make a big difference. Marquette King, flip and field position, that's huge. Tank says special teams now on point. Big change from Brock Olivo last year. Tom McMahon, very energetic guy. He's a process guy. It's all about the process, doing things right. Olivo struggled. He had great passion, but that's not going to win you games. Special teams are going to give things up. JS Mile High says this will be DT's last season in Denver. Sutton will take his role over. Sanders will be retained. Think about it for a second. There was actual talk this offseason that the Broncos should trade Emmanuel Sanders. At right now, I'm saying heck no. I'm so glad the Broncos didn't even look at that because Emmanuel Sanders is a weapon. Having a great quarterback, having a good quarterback, having a better quarterback to get you the ball, that's a big difference to make Emmanuel Sanders great. People always underappreciate special teams. Seahawks started in their 30 all game. Absolutely, that's huge when you're behind your own 30-yard line. There was one where, you know, Marquette King booted it and got it inside the 4-yard line. That is huge. That's field position. Unfortunately, the Broncos gave up coverage errors to the tight end who got it to the opposite 4. So they kind of flipped the whole entire field at that point, a whole 90 yards. But like you mentioned, I think the Broncos special teams much more improved. Brandon McManus off to a great start, 250-yard field goals. Remember when he used to struggle from 50? 50 in the 40 range were really struggles for Brandon McManus in terms of consistency. He's got that there right now. So that's segment number 2. We're going to carry over into segment number 3, the fan questions, the listeners' questions, and statements of Locked On Broncos. But before we jump all into that, I'd like to remind you guys that the Locked On Podcast Network continues to expand with our college shows and our college network. Coming this week, we have Locked On Wolverines of Michigan, Locked On Buckeyes of Ohio State, Locked On Florida State Seminoles, plus we're already locked on to the Oregon Ducks. My personal favorite, being an Oregon Ducks supporter, being a guy whose coach played at the University of Oregon. Love the Ducks. They're on a roll right now. Check out Locked On Ducks as well. The Nittany Lions, the Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, the Razorbacks, the Volunteers, and the BYU Cougars all have Locked On Podcast Network shows with great hosts every single day. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. All right, jumping into it, let's continue the fan conversation over here at our Periscope Tuesday edition of Locked On Broncos. It's live right now on Periscope. If you wanted to see the video version of Locked On Broncos, head on over to Cody Rourke NFL on Twitter, and you can catch it out if it's a replay or if it's live. But right now, you're listening to this. If you're on your way to work right now, this was pre-recorded. But we all did it live on Periscope Tuesday. Very excited about that. I hope you guys enjoy it. I love doing this. We're going to do it every week over here, Locked On Broncos, a Periscope show where we include you, the listeners, the followers, the fans of the Denver Broncos and Locked On Broncos. You guys give us all the stuff that you want. So very excited about that. Tweet away. We still got some time here. Segment number three, talking about all things Denver Broncos. Could be back to the Seattle games. What are some of your guys' keys to the Oakland Raiders matchup on Sunday? We also talk about this a little bit later on Friday. We have a live Reddit show over here on Locked On Broncos, reading everything from Reddit. You could check it out at Cody Rourke NFL over there on Reddit. Very excited about that. My man Scotty Moore joins into the chat, and Deuce Windham as well. A lot of great listeners and supporters of Locked On Broncos. Appreciate all you guys as well. So fire away your Broncos Raiders takes and what to expect from there. I can give you a little bit of stuff right here while we're waiting for the fan interaction to pour in. First down, Dante. Dante says, no turnovers. Absolutely. I think if you can come to this game, your key every single week is not to have any turnovers. Unfortunately, we see how that goes sometimes, you know, forcing a ball into double coverage or not seeing a linebacker really hanging out underneath. Those are things I think we really have to look at when looking at this matchup. Case Keenum, he doesn't have to come into this game and force things. He doesn't have to come in and be Superman and throw for 400 yards. Rev Deuce Windham, he says, key to Raiders Broncos, defending the short area, mesh concepts, for example, passing concepts. Nacho says, getting to Derek Carr. Think about it this way. The Broncos can get to Derek Carr. The Rams on Monday night did a very good job of getting to Derek Carr and forcing pressure on him, forcing him to throw balls into small spots where there's tight coverage underneath. We saw Marcus Peters jumping for an interception. The Broncos can do that. That'll be great. I think Bradley Chubb utilizing the outside, I think teams are going to put a little bit more emphasis this week on defending Von Miller. You might see a double team, triple team. You saw a little bit of that late in the game when the Broncos went prevent. You saw the running back staying to chip Von Miller. Other than that, you had three sacks. And that was all opened up because of Bradley Chubb opposite of him, the interior pressure with Domantopeko, Derek Wolf, and the inside linebackers blitzing. There was a lot of pressure generated from the other side opposite of Von Miller that really made a big difference for Von Miller having such a breakout game. Chubb gets two sacks this week. I'd love to see it. He came in and he got a half sack with Darian Stewart on the opening play for the Seahawks offense. It was a play-action pass. Darian Stewart blitzed. Chubb came up underneath. Both guys received a half sack credit, so that's a big thing as well. He's just explosive and powerful, Chubb is, and that's going to be a big matchup. The Broncos secondary, that's where I really want to see somebody step up this week. I want to see Bradley Roby respond and have a better game in coverage. I think it's important because he kind of gave up that pass to Brandon Marshall. Other than that, I think Bradley Roby played well. Real Pedro Luis says, is cornerback three a concern to this specific game? To be honest with you, I don't think it is because Pac-Man Jones really proved to the Broncos last week that he can handle it. He can be a guy. He covered Brandon Marshall, who's a much bigger receiver than him. He covered some very good targets there. You know, the Raiders, they have Jordy Nelson. They have Amari Cooper. They have a multitude of different options. They have Jared Cook at tight end. You know, and they also have Martavis Bryant, which they just reinstated today. I'm not sure if he's going to be suspended or not. I know there's a potential suspension looming for a drug offense for Martavis Bryant, but they re-signed him today, and that's going to be a big indicator. If he plays, that's going to be a really significant matchup for the Broncos secondary, having to prepare for a guy as tall and as athletic and physical as he is. He's a weapon when he is really on, and when he's on, he could be a very good receiver in the NFL, and you always have to factor in Amari Cooper being a threat. We saw a lot of jet sweep stuff with him, bringing him in motion, trying to get him out in open space a little bit. That's going to be something for the Broncos to look at, as well as they look to come into this game on Sunday very focused and hoping to win. J.S. Mile High says, keeping Case Keenum below 35 pass attempts. Line up Freeman with Janovich at fullback. Could eclipse 200 yards rushing as a team. Absolutely. Think about this too, J.S. Mile High. Think about this too. Royce Freeman there with Andy Janovich leading the way. But also think about if you have Phillip Lindsay back there as well with Janovich leading the way. Phillip Lindsay made a lot of spectacular plays last week himself, utilizing his one cut and then moving up through the hole and making some plays. That's big. That's what we really have to see as well out of him. So very excited about that. That'll do it here for our Tuesday edition Periscope, live Periscope edition. It'll go up on Locked On Broncos right now here in just a few moments if you're listening to this live on Twitter. It's going to be live on your phones, on your iPad, on your iHeartRadio, your Spotify, your Apple iTunes, your Google Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, it's going to be there as well. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll be doing this again next week. Very excited about it. Stay tuned for all the latest episodes of Locked On Broncos. Tomorrow's the crossover series with your boy boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders. Appreciate all you listeners that listen and support the show every week. We had an amazing month last month at Locked On Broncos. We had over 17,000 episode downloads. That is huge. And it couldn't have been done without you, the fans, you listeners. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. Locked On Broncos, bringing it to you once again.